Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. I'm going to give you three things tonight. It's going to be really, really good. There's an old saying, and these are old notes I brought tonight that we're putting in a new book because the staff got on to me. I've got files and files and files because when I travel, we do about 12 basic seminars, marriage building 101, biblical parenting, man, lovely provider. We've got real good seminars that we put together, and people want us to come teach that. I heard this growing up, you know, because it came from a big family. My father had 12 brothers and sisters, so did my father-in-law. And so, you know, I'll be glad when you grow up. You know, I'll be glad when you're out of the house. You'd hear that all the time among our cousins. Now, my parents never said that because they had a plan. You had no reason, you know, nobody ever asked on a Sunday morning, are we going to church? You get your head slapped around. We're going to church every Sunday. The door's open Sunday night, Wednesday night. We didn't miss anything. So we were there. So we didn't think it. We never thought about not going. You just went. And so I'm going to read this because we did a survey for all of our families at the end of last year. Denise suggested, and we got the reports back. And it was kind of fascinating because you grew up in what we called a normal family. I mean, my parents are normal parents. My dad, you know, he'd say a four-letter word every now and then. But he'd always go to church and pay his tithe. And you know, he did what was right most of the time. He'd have a cold beer every now and then. And he said, son, don't you do this. I said, well, okay. And so so people asked me in the Army, said, how come you don't drink? I said, well, I tried it one time. I said, it tastes like horse urine. And he said, you ever tasted horse urine? No, but I smelled it, and it tastes the same thing, and I don't care. So I didn't drink because I was holy. I didn't drink because it tasted horrible. I'm not going to do that. So anyhow, we got this back from the families we surveyed, and I thought it was fascinating. He said, this is the most common, these are the top four prayer requests that we get in our ministry from our partners, from people that call in, from the seminars. These are the top four in order. Number one, what do you want? Well, we would like to get more love and respect from our family. So these are parents writing in, you know, sure, we'd like to get more love and respect. Kids don't love us. The brothers don't love us. Cousins don't love us. Get no respect from nobody. So second one is we'd like more unity in our family. We'd like to find more happiness and have less arguing. And that was number two from America. What do we do? We're arguing too much. Now, this is from Christians. We surveyed believers. Number three, we'd like to be in agreement even when we don't agree. I don't know how you get that done, but that's what they asked for. So we sure like getting agreement when we don't agree. I don't think that's going to happen. But number four, we want more unity working together a whole lot better. So those are the top four. And we just sat around this office thinking, what are we going to do with this? You know, I mean, I don't think we're going to change what we do. You know, they said they have this need. Well, God supplies need. Find God, you'll get all this thing taken care of. So we asked them this question last year on the survey. Give the top priorities for 2017. What's your top four goals for next year? Top four goals. And so this is in order. Number one, to grow closer as a family. Well, there it is again. What is it? Well, we're scattered to the four winds. Man, we've got things in school and tests and games and stuff. We're lucky if we get home at the same time. So we want to grow closer as a family. Number two, we want to have more fun together. Why? We don't have any more fun. And so Denise got mad at me one day. It was Thanksgiving. I don't know how long we've been married, 12, 14 years. And man, I was upset. I want the house of Mac. It's Thanksgiving Day. Barry Sanders is playing on TV today, and Reggie White, that went to Tennessee, he's playing on TV today, and so I want to be able to get on in front of that TV in time to see the game, so we got to eat early, so we're going to eat Thanksgiving at 11 o'clock, have the house of Mac and all the kids quiet and behave, and so I'm yelling. I mean, I'm a Christian father. I'm yelling, sit down, shut up, clean up, yeah, and so Denise came over, she grabbed me by my ear, she could pinch the snot out of my ear, she grabbed my ear, Joe, calm down, that's what I was, just calm down, so Joe, we're going to get everything immaculate, just like you want it. Turkey on the table, everything clean. You sit down and eat, nobody be talking. And you go watch a ball game. But I want to tell you something. Eventually the kids are going to leave home. And I want you to know the day the last kid leaves home, I'm going with him. And you can live in your immaculate world with your immaculate life and all by your immaculate self. And Denise never threatened. She didn't threaten. She said it. It's concrete. Like, what? And so I realized I needed to change. That took about a year, but I did change it. I did. And so we have more fun together. We wanted more unity, more peace, more harmony. That was the third one. Unity, peace, and harmony. Those words popped up all the time. And we wanted to build a stronger core. And so You know, we're sitting around thinking, well, how are we going to change this? Are we going to come up with, well, maybe we need to write something. There's two things going on. There's two kingdoms at war. Jesus is trying to unite everything. Father, make them one together like you and I are one. So Jesus is in the business of uniting. The devil's in the business of dividing. He tried to divide God from his kingdom, God from Adam and Eve, Adam from Eve. He's in the dividing business. Jesus is in the uniting business. There's no third camp. There's no third group. It's just one of those two groups that are going with each other. So I thought, well, maybe we can do a little devotional and we'll send them some. So I put together five scriptures. This is basically it. And it seems like it's kind of watered down, but there was something to it. It's on growth. I said, what is it? Well, everybody needs to grow up. You know, my father never said it. He just expected it. But I heard it from my cousin. You need to grow up. I'll be glad when you grow up. When are you going to grow up? I said, well, what does that look like? I mean, we talk as our cousins. You know, hey, what does it look like when you grow up? I don't know. I've not been there yet. Well, let me know if you get there first, you know. So we get these scriptures. Ephesians 4:15 says, growing in every way to be more like Christ. Well, God's into growing evidently. We need to grow. We need to grow in Christ. Okay, that's good. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I became a man, I put away childish things. There it is. Is that when you turn 18? I don't know. I've seen a few 18-year-olds. I don't think they've made it yet. It must be later on down the food chain somewhere. Number three, 1 Corinthians 14:20, do not be childish in your thinking. Well, I was told that a few times. You know, you need to start thinking like an adult. That's hard when you're 10. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, your love for each other grows even greater and greater. So love grows, everything grows, you know. I heard a guy tell me one time, said, you know, I fall in love with my wife about 7 times a year. I thought, really? That's kind of sad. No. No, you got to fall in love all over again. Yeah, because most people, you know, most people get married and like to go deer hunting. Go shoot the deer, hang the head on the wall, put the meat in the freezer, and you go do something else. I've got mine. I hope you get yours. And that's the way we saw getting a spouse. Whew, man, I don't have to date anymore, dress up. Got mine. I can relax, sit home. I don't want to go out and eat. Cook something, honey. Put some makeup on and cook something. Dear Lord. I did say that. I didn't say it twice. I just said that one. And so Revelation 2 talked about the church at Ephesus, and God was writing them. And he was bragging on them what they were doing good. But he said, I have one thing against you. And they said, well, really, well, what is it? And he said, you've left your first love. They said, what? You left your first love. You need to go back and repent and remember and redo. A lot of re in there. And what was it? They had fallen out of love. The church of Ephesus had fallen out of love with God. Because love's not what you feel. That's not love. Love's what you do. It's a real expensive four-letter word. Love's going to cost you something. If I love somebody, it's going to be shown by what I do for them, not what I say to them. Love's a really good deal. Love's a rare deal. And if you find it, man, hang on to it because it's really precious. But I've learned something about love. If you don't give it away, you don't get it. you gotta sow it. You know, people all the time would complain, my high school students, the boys especially, well, I can't get a date. Nobody can go out with me. And I said, well, I wouldn't go out with you either. You know, you'd look sloppy and your breath would peel the bark off a pine tree. And you know, you got to drive your daddy's old car. And I wasn't going to date in that by myself. And it's like, you know, you're not ready to date yet. You gotta grow up. So anyhow, we got three things. I'm going to give you three traits of grown-ups. This is where I got this from years ago. And I have prayed this over my children. I don't know where you are, but you're here somewhere. My kids will tell you, I have prayed this over my children before Sarah, our first one, was born. Sarah's the only one not here tonight. She's her last year of school. She's a college professor. So she said hi. But I prayed this over her before she came out of the womb. I prayed it over every child every day, sometimes twice a day. I prayed it this morning. I'll pray it in the morning when I get up. Father, I want you to do three things. I want you to teach my children to fear you. Teach my children to fear you. I give you permission. And we'll get into that in just a second. And I'm to surround my children with divine favor. Why? We're going to need it. We're in a messed up world full of the devil's people. We need to walk with divine favor. People are going to like us and they don't even know why. Why do they like? Well, because I walk with divine favor. I believe for it every day. Number three, Father, I want you to bring godly friends into my children's life. I don't want wimpy people in my children's life. I want strong people that'll strike iron with them, cause them to grow and become what they're supposed to be. So I pray that those three things every day. And so I just got where I do it in the habit, and we put it on prayer cards. We've given it since it's in the back of all of our books we publish. But nobody said, have you ever taught on that? And I said, what? No, you don't teach on it. You just do it. Well, what's that look like? I said, what? Well, what's that look like? I said, what do you mean, what does it look like? Well, you know, let's just start with the first. So I'm just going to give you a few scriptures. Kind of hang with me here. Psalm 34:11 says, the God says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So you're not born with it. Nobody can lay hands on you. They can't anoint you. You have to be taught to fear God. And how do you do that? Well, you learn how stinking awesome God is. He's really big. He's everywhere, all the time, knows everything. Nothing catches him by surprise. He's already forgiven the sin you've not even repented of yet. God's way ahead. God sees things coming 5 minutes from now, 5 days, 5 years. God's seen the future. That's why he took John off the Isle of Patmos and said, here, watch this and write this down. And John wrote the book of Revelation. He wrote the future, but the future hadn't happened yet. But he could see it from God's viewpoint. God sees me. Why would I do anything without God? How could I do anything without God? I need God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want to give him honor. I want to give him thanks. I want to find out what punches his button and what triggers it. Well, I found out early, God loves praise. When you don't know what's going on, you ought to get your hands up and thank God. Father, I thank you that we're in a mess right now. I don't know the way out, but I know you do. And I'm going to start thanking you ahead of time that you're going to get us out of this thing. You're going to order our steps, direct our paths, guide us in all truth. You get your mouth moving the way God's got to move it. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, now we know in Proverbs 4:7, I've taught this for years in high school. Wisdom's the principal thing, therefore get yourself some. What? It's number one. What's the number one thing? Wisdom. You might want to get some. Well, why? So we did a big study on all the words and wisdom in the Bible, especially Proverbs, 118 of them. Wisdom will get you a long life. It'll get you divine favor. A wise person can scale the city of a wall and take it captive. Wise people are blessed and highly favored. So if you're not wise, you're one of the other three. You're a fool. You know, that's not good. You're simple-minded or you're a scorner. And all those three have bad things happen to them. So the four kinds of people, there's only one you want to, I want that one there. I'll take the wise thing. So that starts with the fear of God. That's why I pray it every day. Father, all wisdom starts with fearing you. So Father, I start. I give you permission. Teach Sarah, Jessica, Corey, Terrence, Lauren, John. Teach them to fear you. For the fear of God is the beginning of that wisdom. Father, I ask you to give them liberal wisdom for practical, successful daily living. You surround them with wise people. You know, you talk to them and they go to sleep and they wake up. So I've done that my whole life. I do it without even thinking about it, kind of because it's almost got rote. Proverbs 1:7 says the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. So the two things you need, wisdom and knowledge, where are you going to get that? You got to fear God. So it's critical. So if you're a parent, I don't care if your children live halfway around the world and you're 80 and they're 60, you can still pray it. Father, I didn't do it before, but I'm going to do it now. Teach my children to not fear you. I loose the Spirit of God to do what he does best. Teach my children to fear you. And God will do that. He'll show up like a freight train. It's going to be real good. Number two, I want divine favor. Psalm 5:12, for God, you will bless the righteous, and with favor you will surround him like a shield. What do you need a shield for? Well, because you're on an alien planet. Satan became the legal god of this planet when Adam and Eve sinned. And Jesus got it back by going to the cross, coming out of the grave. So he bought us back. We've been bought with a price. We do not belong to the devil. We belong to God, but we're still on an alien planet. That's why you got to have your shield of faith, your sword of the Spirit, your helmet of salvation. Well, I better get my armor on because I'm in a war. Now, I've been promised to win. I do have to fight, but I need to believe for favor. So I got tired of people, and I've never tolerated the kids. Well, teacher don't like me. Coach won't play me. You know, like, shut your face up. I prayed before you left your mother's womb. You walk with divine favor. So you might want to change your attitude because evidently you're doing something stupid because you walk with divine favor. Daniel and Joseph, they were the wrong culture, the wrong language, the wrong color in a foreign country. And they ended up taking over the foreign country because they walked with divine favor. I care who you are. Well, nobody likes me and I never finished school. Shut your mouth up. You are a child of God. You walk with supernatural divine favor. People are going to like you, not even know why they like you. And then number three, you need godly friends because you don't know anything. And you find that out by getting around people smarter than you. That's why the only weird humor we have in America is mocking other people. We make fun of smarter people, richer people. If they got more than we got, like them. Well, wow, they're doing better than you. Well, might want to shut your mouth up and learn something. Start asking questions instead of gum flapping all the time. I noticed most time in social events when I was in the business world, businessmen always like to brag what they've done, what they built, what they've accomplished. Like, that's really a dumb thing to do. Now, I worked for a wonderful spirit-filled engineer for years out of Kansas. Man, he was a Holy Ghost guy, but he was a really great engineer. And he taught me early in the sun, when we go today to lunch, shut your mouth. Don't tell them anything we do. Ask them what they do, because heathens love to brag about themselves. If you ask a question, they'll talk for 30 minutes. And you just keep nodding their head and taking notes. And when you leave, they'll empty their whole brain on the table. You can take it with you, and you've got your brain still intact. It's just, it's a great thing. And we did that. So we would have, and people loved us because we honored them by asking questions. Boy, you sure do that good. How do you do that? How did you get that done? And so the one time I've told the story so many times when we were trying to figure out this one product line, we couldn't make it. There was a company in Atlanta that could make it 4,000 feet a minute. And I thought, that's impossible. We can make it 1,000 feet a minute. Nobody can make that 4,000 feet. It's impossible. It's technically impossible. I'm an engineer. It's not possible. Well, they say they can do it. So I thought, how do they do it? And so my boss said, well, let's go find out. We bought a plane ticket. We flew to Atlanta. We knocked on the door. Hey, we'd like to see your chief engineer. And so he walked out. So my name's Bill Clark. It's Joe McGee. He said, we're engineers, one of your smaller competitors in Sykes, Missouri. We'd like to take a tour of your plant. And he just stared at it. He said, what for? Well, because you do things a whole lot better than we do. We thought we could learn something. We'd just like to take a tour. He just stared at us. And it's like, this wasn't good. This was not good. And finally, he reared his head back, and he bust out, and they were just the biggest old laugh, and he just belly laughed and said the four most elegant cuss words I've ever heard anybody say. Well, blankety, blank, blank, come on in. And they gave us a tour of the facility. Now, we're only looking for one product line, but we were nodding our heads and said, man, that's something. And I thought, well, that's something. And we're looking at that one product line, and sure enough, we found it. We looked at it. There it is. We didn't even need the blueprint. We knew the minute we saw it. That's how they do it. That's how they do it. That's how they can make that 4,000 feet a minute. And so we had to go back to Sykeston. We found an engineer close by. It took us 2 months to get it built, 3 months to perfect it. But by the Christmas time, we were making that 4,100 feet a minute, and we didn't have any more layoffs. Somebody somewhere knows something you don't know that you need to know. The humble. Humble people get promoted. Humble people get exalted. Arrogant people get fired. Ask questions. Don't brag. Ask questions. Man, that's something. How did you do that? Whether it's a marriage or parenting, that's how we learned parenting. That's how we got a parenting class started years ago. Well, in the East, I first started with two kids. Man, we don't know what we're doing. So my pastor had to start a parenting class. I said, no, we're going to get somebody to teach class. Well, for 3 months, nobody would volunteer, so we had to do it. And so I thought, I went home and said, Pastor said, we got to teach this class. She said, you don't know anything about parenting. I said, well, you don't either. So what are we going to do? I said, well, I don't know, but I got to come up with 48, you know, titles, 48 classes, 48 weekends. We're going to teach it and take off the four holidays. And so I sat down and I wrote down on the yellow pad the 48 things I wanted to know. Well, what do I want to know? Well, number one, I want to know this. Everything was a question. I don't know that. I want to know that. So I thought, well, I got to teach this and we got to put it in the church bulletin. We're advertising. We're teaching this in 6 days. So I went down. People asked, how did you learn? I went down to the Christian bookstore. So you got a book on this? And there weren't many books on parenting way back when. So we found one. I read it. So my class, the first 20 minutes of class, I read the quote of what the book said. I gave so many scriptures. And then the last 20 minutes, we took questions. Any questions? I don't know. Anybody know the answer to that? Hey, you like it? Would you like to answer that? And that's how I learned about parenting. And people asked, what did you learn the Bible? I said, well, I was forced to take this class when I took over the Christian school, and I had to teach chapel because we kept firing the guys. Christian kids hate chapel. Nobody wants to go to chapel. They're half Christian to begin with. And so I never believed in having chapel in Christian school. I said, I don't believe in it. We need to do it. This is the academic institution. Let's teach Alistair and Trigg and send them home. Let the church teach them with it. But no, well, if we got to do it, we got to make it entertaining. So we cut chapel down from an hour to a 20-minute class. We forbade them to bring their Bibles. Don't you bring your Bible. No, lay it at the door. You can't bring your Bible here. Why? You're not reading it anyhow. I tried one time. I said, turn to Hephaniah chapter 2. And they came back the next day. We can't find Hephaniah. Is there another Bible? No, there isn't a Hephaniah, doofus. There's not a Hephaniah. So we taught them, but just really kind of stretched them in what the Word said. So we learned this right here. Come back to the scripture. Like, I realized they don't know anything about the Word of God, so we got to make it entertaining. So I would get a children's Bible storybook. People have asked for years, what did you learn all the Bible stories? Egemeyer's Bible Storybook. It's still in print. It's a hardback book. I think she was in her 80s when she wrote it. Great, great Baptist gal. She took all the major stories of the Bible, put them into one page of modern English. I found it on the bookshelf. I said, what is that? children's Bible storybook. Man, maybe that'll help. I got to teach chapel, you know, 175 days a year, and I don't know anything. So I would get it, and I'd read a story, and I'd go teach 20 minutes of chapel. And they'd ask me, well, what's happened? Where's the rest of the story? I'll finish tomorrow, because I haven't finished the chapel. I got to finish the story, and I'll come back and tell you the rest of it tomorrow. And so I went through Eggemeyer's 10 times in 10 years. Now, I learned a lot in Bible school. I love my Bible school. I told the pastor, just finished up, you know, my degree in theology, and I just finished that. I love studying. But I learned the Bible from reading a children's Bible storybook 10 times in 10 years. So you sort of get the big picture. God's good. Devil's bad. People are stupid. That's pretty much it. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.